Come on, let's just stay in that flow for a minute. God, today we're grateful that the one who's been standing with us, the one who's been standing for us, will always be stronger than the one who's been standing against us. God, we're grateful today that the hell that's been happening around us is no match for the heaven that's inside of us, because greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. God, I thank You today. Come on, with our hands lifted as a sign of surrender. God, I thank You that the name of Jesus will always be bigger than the name of COVID-19. That the name of Jesus will always be bigger than the name of cancer and heart disease and diabetes and congestive issues. The name of Jesus will always be bigger than addictions and broken hearts and broken marriages. The name of Jesus will always be bigger and stronger. So right now, God, we call upon Your name. We don't just sing words to sing them. We don't just sing melodies to sing them. This is not karaoke Sunday. But when we declare that nothing else will do, at the end of the day, we just want You. Come on, will you sing that with me? Say, nothing else. No, nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want. Come on, let me hear you shout it out. Sing. Nothing else. Oh, nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want You. Nothing else. Come on, let me hear you shout. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. Come on, even bolder. Nothing else, nothing else, oh Lord. Nothing else will do. I just want You. Nothing else, Jesus. Nothing else, Lord. Nothing else. Cause we just want, I just. Come on, one more time. Shout it out. The voice to say, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want You. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. Come on, can you give Him praise all over the room for His goodness and His mercy has never stopped chasing us? Psalms 23:6 says the very goodness and mercy of God just keeps on chasing you. I'm grateful for that promise. You know, being born an accident into a drug dealer, alcoholic, my dad cheated and beat up people and was hustling, and my life was like a Jerry Springer episode. Some of y'all know my story. To go from broken to breakthrough because Jesus got in the way of my family's storm, to go from broken to completely set free, I can't help but shout from the rooftops. I can't help but tell people how good God has been. And in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of the news, see, I feel like a lot of times we're checking the word and watching the news, and we need to reverse that. We need to check the news and watch the word. Come on, get in the word and see, I can't doubt Him because I know too much about Him. And at the end of the day, we know, come on somebody, we know that we win. At the end of the day, if you get to the back of the book, you know that Jesus is still good. His mercy is still new. Y'all woke up again today and took another breath, which is proof that God is not done with you yet. Come on, you woke up again today. His mercy was new today. His goodness was good again today. The sun showed up in His face. Is made to shine upon you again today. A verse that I have been living in, camping out in during this whole pandemic has been Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26. And Bible theologians believe this is the greatest blessing in the Bible. It's the benediction. May the Lord bless you. Come on, just lift your hands and just look towards heaven. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. Make his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. Turn his attention, his countenance towards you. May he give you peace. May the Lord bless you. See, there's provision in that. May he keep you. There's protection in that. Make his face to shine upon you. There's grace and mercy in that. Turn, be gracious to you. The word gracious literally means to grant you favor. That's good news. May he turn his countenance. It's as if the attention of God shifts in your direction. And when God the Father is looking down upon you, you have his favor. You have his protection. You have everything you need when you need it. And then at the end of the day, you can lay your head down at night knowing that there's perfect peace. So God, today we thank you for peace. Today, God, we thank you for hope. If there's any area of your life that has felt hopeless, it has been under the influence of a lie. And I want to encourage you today that there is hope, and his name is Jesus. The diagnoses can reverse. The marriages can come alive again. That addictive issues can be surrendered. That someone in your family who's gotten caught up in the prodigal life, there's redemption and restoration. Come on, y'all with me today? Some of y'all like, he came out of the gate in his yoga pants. Like, these are skinny jeans. Leave me alone. Listen, I'm fired up because I'm back. I'm from Texas, and we can't meet. And so I was in St. Louis last week, and I got to be in a gathering, and then I'm in here with you, and I'm fired up, y'all, because I believe life moves at the speed of relationships, and I'm glad that y'all decided to show up. I want to honor your pastors, Pastor Donnie, Miss Rhonda. Thank you guys for opening up the building. Come on, and believing. It feels good in this building. Look at the person next to you, and don't spit on them. Just be like, it feels good in the room. Come on, let them know. Just let them know. Say, it feels good in the room. And then turn to another person to give them like an air COVID high five. Say, it feels good in the room. Don't touch them. Some people just don't. Now, see, if you're an introvert, you like this season because you're like, I'm not a hugger. And so you're fine with this. But see, I'm a hugger, so this has messed with me. But I'm fired up. I'm fired up. I want to stay here just for a moment, and I promise we're not going to go super, super long today, but I'm fully convinced that God is still doing miracles. I'm fully convinced that none of this catches him off guard. I'm fully convinced that he's not up there like, oh, myself, Jesus, you're going to have to go back down there. Look at everything that's happening down there. None of this catches him off guard. He knows what we're walking through, and if we're going to go through it, then I say we choose to grow through it. Amen. I say we come out on the other side better. See, I'm not in a rush to go back to my old normal because I'm excited about what God is doing next. There's a reason why our windshield is bigger than our rear view mirror. God is far more interested in our future than our past. So I'm fired up about where God's taken the church. I'm fired up about where God has taken you. And it's a little interesting. Flying right now is weird. You know, we're all wearing the masks and nobody talks, and then they're like, when they laugh, you can't tell if they're laughing. Like, if you tell a joke, we're like, I'm not sure you got it. Just raise your eyebrows. Everything is a little bit bizarre on planes. You know, nobody sits next to you, which I'm fine with, but I'm not in a rush to go back to, and I hope that doesn't offend anybody, I'm not in a rush to go back to the old normal because I believe that God is doing a new thing. I believe that God is doing a new thing, and it's already begun. He's making a pathway in the wilderness and streams in dry places. I know for me, I've decided to not allow this waiting season to be a wasted season. I want to get on the other side of this and say, I didn't waste the season of waiting. Say the waiting. Come on, say, I've been waiting. All right, look at the person next to you and say, glad you came. You can be seated. Give your worship team a huge hand. Matt, you can come. Seriously, that was awesome. Give him a bigger hand than that. That was amazing. You know, pre-COVID, I was out 150, 160 days a year, and there's a lot of churches that have gifted bands, gifted musicians. And I feel like in our humanity, we can confuse their gifting and call it the anointing. But how you know it's anointed is there's signs and wonders in the room. Amen? And your team's not only gifted, but they're actually anointed. And so today, I was blessed. I sent a video to my wife. I said, look at this. This feels good to be in the house of the Lord and people are worshiping. My friend Matt came with me. Give Matt a hand, and he's going to flow with me for just a moment. But I've been in this thread, in this mindset, in a couple passages throughout this pandemic, and we're going to talk about it here in just a few. But I'm fully convinced, say fully convinced. Like, I'm fully convinced that God is still doing miracles. I'm fully convinced that you can come through this and on the other side of it, and that the doctors will be baffled because the diagnosis you've been dealing with has been reversed. I'm fully convinced. We've been praying for something specific in my household, and we've been praying over the past couple of years that every time my wife goes back to the doctor continues to taper her back on this specific medicine she's on. Well, for about 2 years, we didn't see it. But over the last few months, the doctor's like, I'm not sure what's been going on, but we've got to keep pulling your medicine back and pulling your medicine back. Come on, somebody. I believe that the doctors will be baffled when they tell you you don't have diabetes any longer. Why not? Come on, it's only crazy until it happens. Come on, and we've got crazy, audacious faith. I come by way of Houston, Texas, where it is hot, y'all. It is hot. My wife is from that region, and so we moved there last summer, and I didn't realize I had to carry a stick of deodorant around all the time. It's so hot. It's just unbelievable. And so it's amazing. I'm based out of a church there called Hope City. We are 5 years in. We have five locations, and we have seen pre-COVID, you know, we were seeing anywhere between 15 and 16,000 people come out between our five locations. And those numbers are amazing, but the numbers we're most excited about is the last 5 years, we've seen over 30,000 people commit their lives to Jesus between our Easter productions and all that. During the COVID season, though, we've partnered with a couple organizations locally, and we've done local missions and some outside of our state, but we have just crossed over, and I'm fired up about this, we've just crossed over feeding over 1 million people since COVID started. We're doing a feeding program within schools where parents count on those lunches and breakfast for their kids, and so we've been able to be an incredible blessing, because right now, digital has been our default, right? Y'all wake up, you choose to, you know, brush your teeth or not. You don't have to brush your hair and do anything. You can eat Cheerios while watching the sermon. Well, now y'all showed up. Amen. The church has not been closed. The building might have been. But back home, we're still in a digital state because we can't meet. We have all the restrictions. But God is doing some amazing things in Houston, Texas. My wife sends her love. I've been married 16 years next Friday. That's pretty cool. Especially in my family, where if you survive the first 3 months, it's a miracle. So 16 years. And if you look me up on social media, you will think that I photoshopped her in, because I married very, very far out of my league. Like, it's amazing. I was like, God, keep her blind. Because I used to have thick hair like Pastor Donnie. I did. And then God had a sense of humor, so he took my hair to keep me humble. But then he gave me this great beard. So it is what it is. But I have four amazing kids. Brecken's 11. Finley's 9. Daphne is 4, and my little buddy Fox just turned 1, and we're having a blast. So the waiting season has not been a wasted season, because I've been able to be home a lot more, and my wife's appreciated that. I want to pray, and then we're going to jump into what I believe is going to be a word for the house today. I promise to not keep you long. We'll probably go to 2 or 3 o'clock, and I'm just like, some of you are like, how are we going to beat the Baptist to the, okay. Just give me a minute. Father, thank you for the opportunity to minister your word. God, I know that Paul said it's not with perfect oratory delivery, but it's the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. We're Holy Spirit people. And the truth is, we don't want to just go through the motions. We didn't open up the building again to just sit in seats. We came to encounter your presence. God, let us walk out better than we walked in. God, let us go out, truly be the hands and feet of Jesus. I prayed this during worship. I thank you, Lord God, that when you step on this property, Lord, when somebody comes on this property with a tumor, it shrinks. When somebody walks in, steps onto this property that might have a virus or a sickness, I pray, God, that it just leaves their body. I pray the blood cells line up with your word. I pray that sickness bows and responds to your great name. God, I pray that encouragement, joy, and courage begins to rise up in each and every one of us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Matt, you can chill for a minute. You can just have a seat there if you don't mind. Give Matt another. Just right there. You're doing awesome.
Okay, great.
Phenomenal. No, I was thinking about this morning. So my 4-year-old Daphne, she's a little bit feisty. She's sweet and sassy. My 9-year-old is Justice, and she's a fighter, and she's a little bit of a tomboy, and she's amazing. And I was reading this story about being fully convinced. And it's the story about this little girl who was 8. And she went to a Bible-based church like New Creation where, you know, in kids ministry all the way up to the main sanctuary, you're going to get foundational Bible stuff. Like, you're not going to go home and be like, that's crazy. They quoted something from the Book of Mormon. Like, we're not going to do that here. Like, you're going to hear Bible. Amen. And so she was at a church where they taught Bible and they coincided the children's ministry with the main. And so that particular weekend, they talked about Jonah and the whale. So she was fired up. They got in the car. She started telling her mom, Mom, we learned about Jonah and the whale today. And her mom's like, that's what we talked about. She's like, what did you learn? She's like, well, Jonah, you know, God told him to go to Nineveh. And he's like, I'm not going to go to Nineveh. I'm going to go the opposite way. So God sent the big whale to swallow him up. And they were talking about it. It was pretty cool. So the next day, she goes to public school. The next day, she was in school. And the teacher said, kids, you know what we're going to learn about today? We're going to talk about whales. She's like, what? Like, I am God's favorite 2 days in a row. So the teacher's talking. Well, the teacher said something. Say, fully convinced. See, she's fully convinced. She's a Bible girl. Fully convinced. And the teacher said, did you know that a whale's esophagus is so small, it would be actually really difficult for them to swallow a human being? She's like, what? So it came time for questions, and she had her hand lifted. And the teacher said, yeah, yeah. She said, what about Jonah and the whale? And the teacher said, Jonah and the whale. She's like, Jonah and the whale. She's like, Jonah and the whale. What are you? And she's like, Jonah and the whale? Like, he didn't go to Nineveh? Because, you know, she's fully convinced. She thinks everybody knows this story. Didn't go to Nineveh, went to the other place. God sent the whale. He hung out in the belly of the whale for 3 days, played on his iPod. That's where her theology was a little off. And then he's like, fine, God, I'll go. I'll be obedient. So God spit him up on the shore. And the teacher's like, it's a good story. Where did you hear this story from? And she's like, the Bible. And she's like, oh, well, you can't believe fictitious books. Next question. She's fully convinced. Say, fully convinced. Like, fully convinced. So it came time for more questions. And, man, her hand was lifted, and her hand was lifted. And the teacher's like, honey, you've already asked a question. She said, ma'am, I don't have a question. I have a comment. And the teacher said, okay, go ahead. The floor is yours. She said, one day when I get to heaven, I'm going to walk right up to Jonah, and I'm going to ask him, so, Jonah, what was it like being in the belly of the whale? And I'm going to ask him. I'm going to ask Jonah personally. And the teacher's like, okay, well, if you're going to get sassy like your mom. So she goes, okay, so Jonah, you're going to walk up to Jonah and ask him in heaven what it was like to be in the belly of the whale. And she said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, what if Jonah didn't go to heaven? What if Jonah went to the other place? What if Jonah went to hell? The little girl goes, well, then you'll have to ask him. All right, guys, come on. Guys, we can have fun in church. Can we have fun in church? Is it okay? Say, fully convinced. Listen, if you're taking down notes, and I want to encourage you to, Harvard did a study, Harvard Community College, so not quite Harvard, did a study that said if you're a hearer only, you retain 5% of what you hear. So if you just come week in and week out, like, well, that's pretty good. It fits me. It doesn't fit me. 5%. If you take down notes, your retention rate in real time goes up to 35%. That's way better. If you take down notes and go back and reread them and apply them to your life, retention rate goes up as high as 90 to 95%. So never stop growing. Say, I am a learner. I remember preaching for one of my fathers in the faith. His name's Dr. Mark Barclay. And I remember him sitting on the front row, and as I was ministering, he was taking down notes. And I'm like, there's no way anything I'm saying, this man reads the Bible front to back twice a year. There's no way what I'm saying is anything that he doesn't know. So afterwards, I said, Dr. Barker, were you making a grocery list? Like, what were you doing? And he said, I was taking down notes. And he said, since I gave my life to the Lord at 27, 68 now, he said, I've never stopped growing because I know that the Holy Spirit can always speak life into me. I need to grow every day. I tell my kids all the time, put your Play-Doh away. Don't leave it out. Put it back in that little Play-Doh container. Because Play-Doh is only fun when it's shapeable and moldable. That's the way we are supposed to be as daughters and sons of the living God. We should stay shapeable and moldable because the Holy Spirit will meet you where you're at. You may need courage today. He'll meet you where you're at. He unconditionally loves all of us, but maybe you need set free from fear today. He'll meet you where you're at. John 14, 26 says, before Jesus ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father, he left the Holy Spirit here as our helper who helps. Maybe you need joy today. He'll meet you where you're at. Maybe you need discernment today. He'll meet you where you're at. Maybe you need peace and clarity and wisdom today. He'll meet you where you're at. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. So write this down if you're taking down notes, the waiting season. The title of my sermon is The Waiting Season. I think that we can all agree we've been in a waiting season. This has been like life has felt like it's been on hold. Now, this is a beautiful thing because you guys are actually meeting, but I know back home, we're still in this waiting season. But even that you're able to meet, it still feels like we're in the waiting. The passage that I want to go to is actually found in the Amplified in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. I love this version. It says, but those who wait for the Lord. Now pause right there. Our humanity gets in the way and says, oh, wait? That means I have to be patient. And I don't know about you, but during COVID-19 pandemic, I have had to learn and be stretched in the area of patience. Because we're in an instant gratification, instant have it your way. I mean, Burger King's motto is have it your way, right? We're in a drive-through sort of mentality where you want it when you want it. You can Google it, have it answer quick. You don't even have to know how to spell anymore. The guy who actually created spell check died last week. It's pretty sad, yeah. His funeral's this coming monkey. That's a terrible joke. That's not, did y'all catch that? All right, just, okay. But those that wait for the Lord, we don't like to wait, but watch this. It says, who expect, see, that's a position, that's a choice. Who expect, who look for, that's again, that's a choice, that's on us. And hope in him, again, it goes back to us, that's a choice. Watch, we'll gain, this right here fires me up. I want to shout so loud. We'll gain new strength. How many of y'all need new strength? Come on. The guy in the back has two hands and a foot lifted. Come on. New strength. Brand new strength. This isn't recycled or refurbished. You don't have to try to pull on the strength from yesterday. You don't have to borrow it from tomorrow. Those that wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him will gain new strength. Write that down if you're taking down notes. New strength. Come on. Number one. We're going to gain new strength in this waiting season. I said it earlier in our worship moment. My wife and I refuse to allow this waiting season to be a wasted season. You can write that down. The waiting season doesn't have to be a wasted season. We made an agreement at the very beginning. Listen, no matter what we have to endure, walk through, navigate, redirect, shift, whatever has to happen in this season, we will not let it be a wasted season. Those that wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him will gain new strength. And it gets better. This verse gets better. And it says, and he will renew their power. The word renew literally means to restart, to reset. That's good news. To begin again. I believe in this waiting season, there's new creative ideas that are going to come out of the waiting. In this waiting season, there's new increase and new promotion and new doors of favor and opportunity. You know, God is opening up doors of favor and fighting for you in battles that you don't even know about. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, Jesus walked in favor with both God and man. If Jesus walked in favor with both God and man, guess what? You do. Thank you for your overwhelming enthusiasm. Now, you get to walk in it. And I believe in this new strength and this renewed power, reset, restart, to begin again. So write that down. I have renewed power. Come on, write it down. I have renewed power. And the other thing I believe this waiting season has done, if you've allowed it, is it should have activated your faith. Pastor Jensen Franklin says, if you haven't fasted and prayed and leaned into the presence of God more in this season, then you're missing out on an incredible opportunity to grow as daughters and sons. If you've just gotten in a corner and said, man, I just want this to be over. I just feel like I'm surviving this season. God doesn't want you to just survive this season. He wants you to thrive in this season with brand new strength, brand new, renewed power. And I believe he wants to activate your faith. Now, y'all are Word of Faith Theology Foundational Church. You're a power of the authority of the believer. Job 22, 28, I speak a thing, I declare a thing, and it shall be established. Proverbs 18, 21, death and life is in the power of your tongue, so choose to speak life. How many of y'all are authority of the believer, Bible-based people that believe that when you speak with authority, James 4, 7, and tell the devil, devil, you have to flee when I resist you. And if you're a tither and you sow back into the house of God, it also says that he rebukes the devourer for your name's sake. You know you're not overlooked. He actually knows you by name. Now you might say you're damaged goods and fragile, but he calls you by name. Psalms 139, fearfully and wonderfully made, shaped and molded in his image. So I believe in this waiting season, there should be activated faith. There's a verse that I absolutely love that's been an anthem in this season. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13 says, "For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, for I will help you." If you're taking down notes in the waiting season, I want you to write this down. Number one, well, we're like number four, but number one in this section of my notes is don't panic. Well, that's easy for you to say, you and your fancy white shoes. Don't panic. This verse says that he will grab a hold of you with his righteous right hand and says, do not fear, I will help you. This summer, so in Houston, I was telling Pastor Donnie in Houston, it's so hot. Like you can fry an egg on a sidewalk. It's so hot and it's so humid, like 100% humidity. We don't have this fresh glacier air that you guys so eloquently breathe. It's hot in Houston. So my wife's like, if we're going to move to Houston, we have to have a pool. I'm like, babe. And she's like, everybody has pools. So we every house we looked at, I mean, literally they have a pool. So this summer, my older two, Brecken, and who's 11, and Finley, who's 9, they can swim. They're like fish. My four-year-old, who was 3 at the time, she wasn't quite getting it. So we had her floaties on, and I sat down with her. I said, okay, Daddy is going to tell you how to swim, okay? I'm going to show you, and I want you to hear my words. I want you to hear my voice. And she said, okay. So I said, at some point, if your floaties aren't on and you ever fall in the pool, I need you to remember these 3 things, okay? Now, listen, if you teach swimming lessons, don't DM me and be like, that's incorrect. Like, just give me a minute. I'm doing my best here. So, and if you don't like me, Pastor Don will be back next week. Amen. So I sat down and I said, okay, so if you ever fall, you go, hold your breath. So she said, okay. I said, hold your breath. I said, and then I want you to doggy paddle. And she said, puppy paddle. I said, okay, puppy paddle. This is your show. Let's do it. So you got to kick your little hands like this, puppy paddle. She said, okay. I said, you got to kick your feet. Kick, 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 kick. So we did. I got her in the water, had her floaties on, and she was doing it, holding her breath, puppy paddle, and kicking her feet. Holding her breath, puppy paddle, kicking her feet for about 90 minutes. Man, she was confident. My wife was looking out the window like, look at her. She's doing so good. So at the end of this afternoon of swimming, we got out and I took her little floaties off and she was right next to me when my oldest got hurt. Now back up. He's like a puppy with big paws. I don't know. He's a little clumsy. And I don't know if he's watching right now. I love you, bud. Like he jumped out of the pool earlier this year and ripped his entire big toenail off. It was brutal. got weak in the knees. It was bad. And so he got hurt again. I was like, is it your toenail? Are you okay? And he's like, no, okay, well, I got distracted. See, I feel like a lot of times in this waiting season, there's been distractions that have tried to keep us from looking to the Word. Distractions that tried to keep us from looking at, my God, Philippians 4:19, shall supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. But what if he doesn't? No, but he's going to. Come on, that's what the Word says. I feel like there's been these lingering distractions. It says, yeah, but what if I get it? No, Psalms 91 says that he's protecting us. Yeah. Isaiah 53 says that by his stripes we're healed. I feel like there's been these distractions that try to pull us away from the Word. You're looking at COVID-19 stats in the news more than you're looking at the Bible. So we have 4 kids. It's easy to get distracted. My little boy's distracting me. What I didn't know was Daphne had wandered off, and she knew how to hold her breath and puppy paddle and kick, and she lost her balance and fell in the deep end, and I didn't know it. So I was over there by my little boy, and I looked around and said, where's Daphne? And he ran to the door and opened it up and yelled, Mom, is Daphne in there? She yelled, no, and I ran over to the pool, and at the bottom of the deep end was little Daphne with her eyes open, looking up. And I got to be honest, like, it freaked me out. Like, oh my gosh, how long has she been in there? Because I had been distracted. I don't know if it was, you know, a minute, 6 seconds, or 10 minutes. I didn't know. And so I looked down, and something I noticed was she was like this. And she was sitting at the bottom, kicking and paddling like this and not going anywhere. And I dove in and grabbed her and pulled her out. And it reminded me of this verse. I'm the Lord your God who takes a hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. I pulled her up out of the pool and I held her and I said, and she's freaking out. I said, baby, you did so good. You were holding your breath. You were kicking your little feet and you were puppy paddling. And she's crying and I got inside and I'm tore up. Like, oh my gosh, she fell in and I didn't see her. And my wife said, babe, she did what her daddy told her last. And as soon as she said it, I felt the Holy Spirit say, y'all have to do what I told you last. What was the promise that God told you last before all of this happened? That your marriage would have hope, that you'd be healed in your body, that there would be protection and increase and favor and joy. And I felt like the Lord began to speak to me in that life scenario. Go back and do what the Father told you last, because in the middle of the storm, he will reach in and pull you up out with his amazing right hand and say, do not fear, for I will help you. Come on, somebody say amen. So number one, don't panic. See, I believe in this activated faith scenario that we have in the waiting season. I love what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. It says, this is the confidence. See, when you say a word like confidence, there's a different posture as a son and a daughter. Like if a kid walked up to me right now and said, hey, bearded wonder. And I'm like, hey, what's up? And they were like, can you give me $10? I'm like, I don't know you. Where's your parents at? What? But if my daughter walked up and said, daddy, can I have some money for snacks? I'd say, okay, but why? Because she belongs to me. 1 John 5, verse 14 says, this is the confidence we have when approaching God, that anything we ask according to his will, he hears us. I pray in this waiting season, the activated faith in your life would cause you to position yourself as a daughter and as a son, knowing that you can go to him and say, God, I know that you'll supply my needs. I know that you'll protect my family. I know that you'll deliver and restore. I know that you're my refuge and my strength, my very present help in a time of need. So number one, don't panic. Number two, I want you to write this down. In this waiting season, he wants to make us better. It's technically number five. He wants to make us better. The Bible says in John chapter 5, verse 15, I'm the vine, that's him. You're the branches, that's us. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. In the waiting season, there's something that's powerful and also extremely dangerous. It's called free will. If you remain in me, it's a choice. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Again, it doesn't say that he's making you humble yourself. Got a newsflash for anybody who's maybe been a seasoned saint or maybe you're brand new to Christianity. God will never force himself on your life. He's not a forcer. But I'll tell you what he is he's a filler. And if you'll make room and stay connected to the vine, overflowing from his heart, he will provide everything you need when you need it. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you, that's a choice, remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, again, that's a choice, free will. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I pray in this waiting season that you postured yourself in a position that has been leaning into the heart of God, because the enemy knows, John 10:10, the enemy knows. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He knows you're dangerous. He knows that there are people's lives connected to your destiny and purpose. He knows that in this waiting season, if he can rip you off of your confidence or your joy, if he can rob you of your joy, Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your. Come on, y'all awake this morning. The joy of the Lord is your. The enemy knows if he can take your joy, he'll rob you of your strength. And in the waiting season, he'll not only rip you off, but he'll also rip off all the people that are connected to your purpose, to your assignment, to your destiny. I love what it says in John 15, verse 2. It says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Come on, just ask the Lord. Close your eyes with me for a minute. Say, God, cut out anything in my life that's not of you. And anything in my life that is bearing fruit, prune it so that it can produce more fruit. Man, that's good. Somebody should clap. We got a God that will rid things of our lives that are holding us back, but also pruning good things in our lives so that we can grow more. I believe in this season that God wants to remove things in this waiting season that's been potentially blocking a blessing in our lives. I believe he wants to remove some things in our lives that's been standing in the way of us truly being able to step into our next season, because I believe our next season is our best season. But the truth is, God can't bless what you refuse to release, and he can't use who you pretend to be. And I feel like in this season, we can take the, now I know this is going to sound completely weird because we have to wear masks. I mean, some of my friends over here. But I believe in this season, as sons and daughters, God's asking us, take off the masks. Let me see the real you so that I can bless who you really are, not who you've been pretending to be. Surrender some things, lay some things at the feet of God in this waiting season so that we can come out on the other side better. Number six, as we bring this in for a landing, I believe in this waiting season, God will provide. And I don't know about you, but I've been super grateful that even in the lean moments, he's still providing. Now, maybe you've been furloughed. Maybe you've been in the X amount of millions of people that have been laid off. I believe that God is opening up doors for you. I believe this supernatural increase is coming to your life. How many of you guys have already seen his hand working during this season? Like you, awesome. I know the church is doing well. Y'all have been consistently faithful in your giving so that you can continue to do more and help more people. Thank God for the local church and what we're able to do is the heartbeat of heaven. But I'm convinced that God will provide, because here's one of the most amazing revelations that I believe the Lord gave me during this waiting season, that God's promises don't have expiration dates on them. So if he said it and his promises are yes and amen, then I'm going to just hold on to it. His promises don't have expiration dates on it. And another great promise is you can lean on the promises of God, because God's promises don't break when you lean on them. And so for me in this season, I've been leaning more on his promises. God, this is what you said, not my opinion, not cultural, popular opinion, not what the news says, but what your word says. Now, one time in the Bible, now I'm not a Bible theologian, but I have a lot of friends that are, and I call them when I need fancy theological depth, but all throughout Bible college and all throughout the last 15 years of being on the road full-time, 20 years in ministry this year is pretty exciting. I know some of you are like, that's amazing. It's a lot of hot oils, guys. I look younger than I am. It's a lot of cucumber masks. Okay, that's enough. Not once in the Bible, specifically in this waiting season, does the Lord your God, the creator of the universe, the one who shaped and molded you in his image, the one who called you up and pulled Adam up out of the dust and created nothing to something, rejected to accepted. Not one time did he say, hey, I want you to wear this. I want you to really freak out about this. I want you to be overwhelmed, full of anxiety and stressed about this. Yet depression's at an all-time high. Domestic abuse is at an all-time high. Marriage is falling apart at an all-time high. Sleepless nights and panic attacks are at an all-time high. Anxiety and depression are at an all-time high. Not one time does the Lord say, I want you to carry this heaviness and this stress. Not one time. Not one time in the Bible does he say, I want you to really own this and carry this on your own. The Bible actually says in 1 Peter 5:7, to cast all your cares on the Lord. The Amplified says, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all. Something else in the waiting season that my wife and I just decided. We said, we're going to put it in God's hands, and we're going to stop monitoring the things we've placed in his hands, because he's big enough and strong enough to handle what's in his hands. All my anxiety, all my fear, all my concerns, any of it, I roll it on you, and I place it in your hands. This is what the Bible says in Philippians. Some of my Bible friends say Philippines. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, it says this, don't fret or worry. This is the Message translation. Instead of worrying, pray. Let your petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Letting God know all of your concerns, and before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness. Everything coming together for good will come, and this is awesome, and settle you down. Look at the person next to you and say, settle down. Come on, let them know. Settle you down. It says, it's wonderful what happens when Christ displays worry at the center of your life. See, I've been convinced in this waiting season to turn my worry into worship. Because I believe that God will turn our battle into a breakthrough. So no matter what you've been walking through, you know, at our church in Houston, we're about 60-40, 60% white, 40% African-American, Hispanic. It's actually probably more like 50-50 now. So we walk through racial injustice. We walk through all the stuff that we've been walking through as a city, almost 9 million people, and then all over the nation. So much happening. So much uncertainty. We hear about COVID and then racial injustice, and we get the murder hornets over. It seems like there's so much happening. But I have to just keep going back to the Word. And I have to keep going back to what the Lord said about us and His heart for the kingdom. I have to keep going back to His promises being yes and amen. I have to keep going back to, Lord, but you said. So I go back to what you said. Yeah, but you said in Isaiah 58:8 that just as sure as the sun will rise, my health and my strength will spring forth speedily. You said that my righteousness goes out in front of me and the glory of the Lord will overtake me and have my rear guard, which means you have my now, you have my back, and you have my future. And just as confident as I was that the sun was going to show up today, I'm as confident that the one who saves me is not only the one who saved me, but the one who sustains me and heals me and protects us and provides for us. And maybe you're in a low place right now. Maybe you're like, Pastor Daniel, that's awesome. Appreciate your enthusiasm. But the truth is, I'm in a real low place right now. And I need God to lift me up. Would you stand to your feet as we bring this in for a landing this morning? Quoted this verse a moment ago, 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Posture yourselves. Position yourself under the mighty hand of God. Just close your eyes with me just for a minute. Position yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And it says that He will lift you up. If you need a breakthrough in the area of finances, will you lift your hand right now? God, I pray for your supernatural power to meet every need. God, I thank you that even in the 11th hour moment, God, I thank you that you're supplying every need, Philippians 4:19, according to your riches and glory. God, I pray right now for favor, supernatural, unmerited, miraculous favor. God, the doors are swinging open. New businesses are springing forth. New creative ideas are being unlocked. New jobs and opportunities are falling in their lap. God, they'll release what's in their hands, and I ask, God, that you would release what's in yours. I pray, God, that on this day, mark it on the calendar, on June 28th, Sunday, 2019, in the middle of this pandemic, I pray, God, that this is a bragging and boasting on you moment 30 days from now. 45 days from now, 1 week from now, let them say, I remember the day that I felt peace sweep over my heart, peace sweep over my family. God, I pray in the name of Jesus for supernatural debt eradication. I thank you, Lord God, for favor with jobs. I thank you for favor with benefits and medical benefits. I thank you for favor with bills and hospital debts. I pray for favor in the name of Jesus with furloughed jobs. And I thank you, Lord God, that you really are the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper. So we brag and boast on you in the name of Jesus. If you need healing in your body, will you lift your hands? Father, I pray right now that from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet, that every fiber, every tissue, every organ, every blood cell, every nerve, every tendon, every muscle, every joint, every bone is lining up with your word. I pray, God, that valves are clearing out. I pray, God, that irregular heartbeats are being healed. AFib is being healed. Congestive heart failure is being healed. Water retention is being healed. Diabetic issues are being healed. Kidney issues are being healed. Liver problems are being healed. Digestive issues, Crohn's disease, colon problems being healed right now. Respiratory issues are being healed in the name of Jesus. Those who have battled asthma that have to have a rescue inhaler, I pray right now for miracle right now to touch their bodies right now, that their lungs are opening up. Esophagus issues, people that have been having issues swallowing, neurological issues, God, I pray right now the brains are sharp. I pray, God, that dementia is not part of their vocabulary. It might have ran in their family, but it stops with them. In the name of Jesus, Alzheimer's is cursed and surrendered at the feet of God today. In the name of Jesus, thyroid problems, hyper and hypothyroid issues being healed right now. In the name of Jesus, growths and tumors shrinking, nodules shrinking, benign issues shrinking, malignant issues shrinking and disappearing, cells lining up with your word. So we speak your word once again. Isaiah 58:8, just as sure as the sun will rise, health and strength is springing forth speedily in their bodies. The righteousness of God goes out in front of them and the glory of the Lord overtakes them. Diagnosis is reversing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glaucoma issues, eye issues, joint pain, fibromyalgia, autoimmune issues being healed, chronic pain being healed. Somebody's knee, I don't know who this is, your right knee right now is being healed. Joint pain is being healed. Back issues, sciatic issues, low back problems, upper rib issues, rib cage issues being healed right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, if that's you, just reach out and receive it in Jesus' name. Rheumatoid arthritis, arthritic issues being healed right now in the name of Jesus. We've been praying. This is pretty wild. We've been seeing it. I know pre-COVID, haven't been able to travel much, but there was a season where we were starting to see birth defects healed. And so God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I don't know who that's for, but they've been dealing with this thing for their whole life. Let it be so, and let it be miraculous, and let it be resolved in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you just need joy, you need to get your joy back. Lift your hands right now. God, I pray for joy. Joy that's unspeakable. Joy that when they walk into a room, the atmosphere changes. See, you can be a thermostat or a thermometer. A thermometer tells the temperature. A thermostat shifts the room. I pray right now, God, for joy to break out in this church, joy to break out in marriages, joy to break out in the kids and youth and young adults, joy to break out in every person today, God. Nehemiah 8:10, joy. It's not your joy. It's joy from God to you and through you that becomes your strength. I thank you for supernatural joy. Let the world say, what on earth is the matter with you? Why are you so happy? Can't you tell that things are going crazy? And you say, but I got the joy of the Lord. Every day I'm going to wake up and know that this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. And I thank you for joy. In Jesus' name. Pastor Donnie, you and I were talking in the back. You know, they're saying statistically that people aren't coming back, and whether it's a fear issue or they've just gotten used to having Snuggy Church. I used to say underwear church, but people get mad about it. Like, I don't have to get dressed today. I just watch church in my underwear. Okay. I don't know why I always sound like a country Texan. Maybe it's because you're from Amarillo. I don't know. But we were talking in the back about how churches are saying that when they've reopened, how low their numbers have been. But something you and I talked about in the back is just about community and the importance of iron sharpening iron. Proverbs 27:17 says, the iron sharpens iron. That's why I love that life moves at the speed of relationships, because it really is true that we sharpen each other. And we're using wisdom, and we're mixing our wisdom in, obviously, with our faith. But I'm grateful for a bold stance to reopen. I'm grateful for pastors who will say, let's do it. Let's gather. And I'm grateful for y'all to show up. Because here's what I believe. Lift your hands towards heaven. Everybody, come on, whether you feel like it or not. Here's what I believe. Whether you're the youngest or the oldest, there's healing in your hands. The new creation church has always been miracles that have broken out. Mary Fran prophesied it forever ago. There's miracles and healing in your hands. The word of God, like the pen of a ready writer, the word of God is on your lips. Speak life. I'm praying for people, talking to people, encouraging people, because I truly believe that the hand of God is on us, working through us. Psalms 91, surrounding us, protecting us. It shall not come near your dwelling.
Now listen, maybe you know someone who's been dealing with COVID. Maybe you know someone that's recovered from it. Maybe you know someone that is a family member or a loved one who's walking through it. I pray in the name of Jesus that it's fixed, it's healed, it lifts off of them, and it never touches you. And then we come out on the other side and we live to tell about it. Come on, somebody. Can somebody rejoice today because he is good? So don't allow the waiting season to be a wasted season. Don't panic. Know that he wants good things for us. Know that he provides for us. Know that he's providing that new strength, that renewed power. Let this be a season of activated faith. We're going to get on the other side of it. We're going to brag and boast. The Bible says if you're going to brag and boast on what God did. And I say a year from now, we brag and boast. Now, we don't know what's going to happen with schools. We don't know what's going to happen. But just take each day as it comes and know there's new strength for that day. Know that there's great grace, Acts 4:33, for today. And if the disciples walked with great grace and favor and it was evident to all, then we as new creation church and we as sons and daughters of God walk in that same great grace. Come on, one more time as Pastor Donnie comes or whoever's closing. Would you give the Lord one more shout of praise? Come on.
All right, praise the Lord. Hey, you know, before we leave, I've got to correct something. Let me do this. Steve told me how to do this. I don't want to get in trouble. If you're giving online, then here's what you do. You look for the category that says Daniel Eric Groves. And then if you're texting, the keyword is Groves. Is that right? Okay, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I did the black boxes. Okay, praise the Lord. Hey, listen, let's just pause for a minute here. You know, Daniel's done a great job of talking about the benefits that we have when we're born again, that even in tough times, we can always trust God. And I just want to make this known today that if you're not a Christian, you should be. You know, and today, this is your day. If you come here today and you never received the Lord, just receiving right now. And here's the thing. I'll just lead us in a simple prayer, and everyone pray this so you won't feel all alone. But when we pray this, if it's your first time, would you find one of the prayer partners or a pastor, Pastor Steve, Pastor Kevin, myself, Pastor Bill? And would you find somebody and let them just share this moment with you? We'd love to do that. Say this, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Father, I'm a sinner. I've been lost. But today, I feel like I've been found. Jesus, come into my heart. I make you my Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you prayed that, that means this is your birthday. Your spiritual birthday. It's the greatest day. You'll always remember this day. Hallelujah. The Lord, you're the word giver, but the Lord told me to tell you this. The one who came to bless right now, the one who spoke the blessing over us is receiving one right now. Whatever it is, he's blessing you. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey, let's shout one more time because God's good. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, well, I love you. Be nice to each other and have a good day, okay?